Thank you for joining us for the CMC Weekly Podcast. God has a fulfilling and rewarding life for you as you pursue His plan with all of your heart. Our prayer is that you'll find direction and wisdom as you connect with us through our weekly podcast. Join us now for a message from Pastor David Pate.
As we're in this theme of stronger and stronger of Job 17:9, what we're going to talk about today, our title is Strong Help. We're going to talk about strong help. You know, the church should be strong help for people. That's what the church should be. In fact, Jesus came so that the church can be strong help and so that we can have strong help. See, that's why Jesus came. He came to give us power to overcome sin and the grave and death. But in that power, we now have, through Jesus, the power to help other people. And also, we have the priesthood of the believer, the power that other people can help us and pray for us and be there for us. In fact, in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said in verse 18, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." See, Jesus gave us, the church, the power to make a difference in the lives of other people. We have that power to give strong help. And what I want to talk about in the first part today is God wants us to be strong help. God wants us to be strong help. Turn to Luke chapter 10, and I want to look at what we call the Good Samaritan story, because I want to challenge us today to be that strong help that other people need, because that is what God has called us as the church to be for other people. So turn to Luke chapter 10. I want to start in verse 30. It says in Luke chapter 10, verse 30, it says, "Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, they beat him up, and they left him half dead beside the road. And then three different people pass him. Verse 31, by chance, a priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road." He did not even want to look at this man in need. This religious guy crossed to the other side of the road, wouldn't even walk past this man in need. The second is in verse 32, a temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he too passed by on the other side. How sad. Two people of God, or they say they're people of God, avoiding people who need help. And then the third one in verse 33, then a despised Samaritan came along. How quickly we are to judge people, aren't we? "And when he saw the man," look at this, it's my favorite part, "he felt compassion for him." See, that was the problem with the first two. They had no compassion for anybody else. "Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper two silver coins, telling him, 'Take care of this man, and if his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here.' Now Jesus says, 'Which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits?' Jesus asked, then verse 37, the man replied, 'The one who showed him mercy.' Then Jesus said, 'Yes, now go and do the same.'" Three different people walked past this man. He was hurting and in need of help, and yet only one helped him. How sad. How sad. Only one helped him. You know, I wonder how many people we walk past each day. And obviously not everybody we walk past is hurting, and I'm sure the Good Samaritan walked past many people throughout his day, and not every one of them was hurting, but when he came across one that was, he was ready to help. And I wonder how many people we walk past on a daily basis in the store, at our job, at school. I wonder how many people we walk past. And my challenge today is, do we notice those who are in need? Do we notice those? Do we recognize those in our path? And I was thinking about even in my own life, I'll never forget this girl who had just finished her junior year and she came to High Point, this little blonde girl named Mackenzie Johnson, who came to High Point and was in need. And I remember having a God moment with her. And from that moment, she came to live with Melissa and I and spend her senior year here. And the rest is history. And now she's a teacher in our school and married to Stuart, our coach and drummer here. Man, that's awesome. I also think of this ninth grade boy who didn't know how to make a layup in basketball named Josh Barnett. And I remember saying, God, no, if this cup of suffering would pass from me, bring another into his path. And God said, it is your call and your pain in life. And so I took it on as Jesus did the cross. Hetty talks about a boy that she met at a church in Carthage, Texas, named Paul Kern, who was in her path, and she took the time to minister to him. And, you know, I think about that because I think about what Paul has meant in my own life. And I think about if Hetty hadn't felt compassion for him that day, then I wouldn't have Paul's influence in my life, and we as a church wouldn't have Paul's influence in our lives. But it was because Hetty had compassion for Paul, who was in need. And I think of Alan Bates, who I saw befriend a young boy who didn't have a dad. And Alan would take him hunting. And that young man today is in the Air Force, flying in planes and refueling planes in the air. And I think about all those moments that Alan took him hunting because he saw this boy in need. And I think, thank God that Alan did not cross over to the other side and walk past this person in need, but he felt compassion for him. See, Luke 10, it says that when he saw him, he felt compassion. See, when Jesus fills our hearts, we have compassion to help other people. See, I didn't want to help Josh in basketball. He was terrible. But I felt compassion. I think really I felt sorry for him. And that's different than what Alan had. But see, we got to ask God to move in our hearts so that we have compassion for other people. And I want to ask you today, who is laying in your path? I want you to think about who has God placed in your path. And you think, well, but David, I'm not worthy to do that. Think about the Samaritan. You're talking about unworthy according to society. And these worthy religious people didn't help anyone. See, we have the wrong idea of who really has the heart of God and who really it needs to be helping other people. We don't need the religious to help others. We need those who have compassion for other people to be helping them. See, who has God put in your path? And I love that Josh talked about Honduras and Alvin Anderson. I think a lot of times we get in our mind, yeah, there's someone that's really helping someone. And then, you know, I need to go on a missions trip so I can really help someone. But, you know, you don't need to go to Honduras to find someone in need. There are people in your schools that are in need right now. There are people in your jobs. There are people when you walk to the store, when you go to the restaurant, there's people just walking out. There's people all the time. There's people in the church that need our compassion, that need us to notice them. Just yesterday, Chris and I were playing golf. And we ran into a couple of guys that were definitely in need. And they told us they were going to stop after 9, but said we were such great guys that they wanted to keep golfing with us. And there was a moment that we made a connection with some people right there. See, every day we walk past people. Jesus asked, who was a neighbor to him? I like that he used the word neighbor. Jesus asked, who was a neighbor? And they answered, the one who helped him. And right here is a classic example between morality and character. So you had these religious moral people that lacked the character to put their morals into action. See, morality is not doing the wrong thing, but character is applying morality into action. That's what character is. See, the religious people look down on those that were hurting. But you know, people that have true character will get down right there with those who are hurting. See, God has called us. Jesus was challenging us here to be strong help. And then what did Jesus say? He said, go and do the same. That's God's challenge to us today. See, are we being good neighbors to people? Is CM Church a church full of good neighbors? See, are us here in this room, are we good neighbors in Jesseville, in Fountain Lake, in Hot Springs? Are we good neighbors? Or do we avoid people in Walmart? Come on. The one place we have to shop here in Jesseville. Do we walk to the other aisle? Oh, there's the Barnetts. Let's walk to the other aisle. You know, do we do that? Or do we see the, do we give people strong? I was thinking about all kinds of ways that we can help people. You know, I heard of somebody the other day was driving by on his lawnmower, and he called his neighbor. He said, hey, man, I'm out here on my lawnmower. Could I mow your yard for you? I said, sure. What a neighbor. Right here in our neighborhood. Wasn't my yard, but what a neighbor. See, can I come help you move something? Can I do something? Can I help you with your kids? I know you're a single mom or a single dad. Can I do something to help you with your kids? See, I know you're going through a difficult time. I just want to let you know, if you need anything, I am here for you. How are you? Maybe there's somebody that you can have over for lunch. Maybe there's somebody you could take out to eat and bless them. Maybe a young couple and buy their meal. Maybe you could give someone a ride, someone. Maybe someone is in strong need of truth and love. See, there's all kinds of ways that we can be a neighbor and help people. We could be just like Alan and notice, here's a single mom who has a son who we can go and take him in and throw a ball with him or take him hunting or teach him how to build something or use a drill or do something. Here's a boy that needs a man's influence in his life. Or maybe some of the moms in here could notice a single dad. Hey, let me take your daughter to buy a dress and show her how to shop or take her out and do this. See, there's all kinds of needs and people that God has placed in our path. God has called us to be strong help for other people. But the second thing that I want to look at today is the fact that God wants us to personally have strong help. Not only does he want us to give strong help, but he wants us to have strong help. And as we sit here in church today, there are many of us that need strong help. All of us need strong help. And God wants to give us strong help. In fact, turn to John chapter 4. I know we just looked at the Samaritan who did the help, but now we're going to look at the Samaritan woman. So today is Samaritan's Day at church, and we're going to look at all the Samaritans in the Bible. But in John chapter 4, we know this as the Samaritan woman that Jesus talked to at the well. We're going to start in John chapter 4, looking in verse 7. It says, a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone to the village to buy some food, and the woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. So she said to Jesus, you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan woman, why are you asking me for a drink? And I love verse 10. Jesus replied, if you only knew the gift God has for you and who you're speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water. But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket, she said, and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed? Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. And look at her response. Please, sir, woman said, "Give me this water. Please, sir, give me this water." But Jesus said in verse 10, "If you only knew the gift I have for you." And I think Jesus is saying that to each and every one of us in this room. If you only knew the gift that I have for you, you would come to my well. You would come and ask. But see, the thing was, is Jesus was waiting for her to ask. And I think he is on the sidelines of our lives saying, come here, let me tell you something, let me teach you something, let me give this to you. And he's sitting on the sidelines of our lives and he's just waiting for us to take a time out and come over to him. And he wants to give us. But see, you know, I think just like this woman at the well, we don't even know all the plans that God has for us. And I don't care how old you are, if you're 5 years old or 95 years old, God has new and more things for you each and every year. He is so limitless. We can never, ever get to all that God has for us. And I think too many times we settle for less than God's best. Then Jesus said, "You don't even know who you are talking to." And I think sometimes we get so busy doing life. See, she was busy doing life. She didn't even realize who she was talking to. I think sometimes we get so busy doing life that we forget that Jesus is right there, that God is right there to give us strong help. You know, we can be so stressed out. We can be so frustrated. We can get so tired. Or we can be hurting and literally allow it to last over and over for a long period of time when all we got to do is go to him. And he's right there and he wants to give us strong help. I love Matthew chapter 7 where Jesus said, "Keep on asking and you'll receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find it. Keep on knocking and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks the door will be open." Verse 9, "You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts for your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give gifts to those who ask him?" See, we got to realize, church, that God wants to give us strong help. Jesus is just waiting for us to ask. He's just waiting for us to come to him. And then I love Romans chapter 7, where Paul says, "I have discovered this principle in life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong." You know what I'm talking about. He says, "I love God's law with all my heart, but there's another power at war within me that's in my mind. This power makes me a slave to sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am." You ever been miserable? "What a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death?" Thank God. What's the answer? Jesus Christ. What is the answer? Jesus Christ. See, Jesus is the answer. He is what we need. He is our strength. He is our encouragement. He is our wisdom. He is our help in time of struggle. And finally, turn to James chapter 5. And I want to bring this together to what I want us to do in church here today. James chapter 5. James talks about strong help. James chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 13. James says, "Are any of you suffering hardships?" James says, you should pray. "Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of Jesus. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven." Verse 16, "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you will be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results." See, we have strong help. And how many times do we just go through life and forget, "Oh yeah, I should pray. Oh yeah, I should ask so-and-so to pray for me." So many times we forget that all of our Christian friends, they would love to pray for us. We come to church and leave. We come to church in need and we leave church in need, forgetting that all I got to do is walk up and say, "Hey D, would you pray for me?" Of course I would pray for you. See, we got to remember that we have strong help. See, not only should we be looking to give strong help, God wants to give us strong help. And see, it's so easy to come into church and forget that the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. See, what is James asking here? James is asking, what do you need? That's what he's asking, right? He says, are you going through a difficult time? Pray. What do you need? Are you going through a difficult time? Are you sick? Pray. Are you in sin? Repent and pray. See, in fact, if you turn back to James 1:5, we're not going to do that, but it says, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God. You should, what's he saying? You should pray. See, there's so much strong help that God wants to give us. What do you need today? Have someone pray for you. I was in Colorado Springs, Colorado, several years back. My wife had gotten me and a friend of mine tickets to the Denver Broncos. I was going to watch my guy Peyton Manning, quarterback, a little bit. We knew he was coming to the end of his career and was excited to go out there. And before we went to the game, it was an afternoon game. And so we had the opportunity to go to New Life Church out in Colorado Springs. And it's a church of about 8,000 people. And it was a great service. And I'll never forget, at the end of the service, the pastor had different people come up and said, listen, if you want to come up, get prayer. And as I was sitting there, you know, it was over Christmas break, and as a coach and a teacher, if any of you in here are teachers, you know that Christmas break is a godsend. It's a moment of replenishment. And for me as a basketball coach, it's like halftime of basketball season, and you've got the other half coming up, and I know what tournament month is and how busy that is and what January is like. And so I thought, I'm on break, and I'm exhausted thinking about what's coming up. And so I thought, I'm tired. I'm going to go up there and have them pray for me for strength. And I remember going up there, and I remember God meeting me right where I'm at. And I remember going into that January and February, and it was just different. I asked the guy, man, would you pray for a freshness, for a new? I don't want to be that same old teacher, that same old coach. You know, I want to go into this semester with power and strength. And I remember him praying over me and me leaving that church service and thinking, this is why I came to Colorado. I thought God had brought me here to watch Peyton Manning. That was just the bonus part. But God had brought me here to renew my strength, to give me strong help. You know, church, life was never meant to be lived alone. And yet I think there are people in the church that come into the church full of people and yet leave alone. Adam and Eve left the garden feeling alone, because their sin had separated them from God. But that was never the intention. That's why God sent his son Jesus, so that our relationship would be rekindled. And see, now we have the priesthood of the believer. We don't have to go to a priest, because Jesus has made us all priests. And so now we can all pray for one another. We can all go to the Father for one another. See, God is into relationship. He's not into religion. See, the religious will see those who are hurting and walk to the other side. But God is into relationship. He's into renewing our strength. He's into us doing church together. See, we are to be the church, not do church or just be at church. We're to be the church with one another.
You have been listening to the Christian Ministries Church Weekly Podcast. Join us each week for more messages from CMC.